Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Just a reminder, big guest announcement. Yeah, the mayor's on next. I'm not saying he's not a big guest, but Connor Bedard this afternoon, 2:30 on the Green Zone. So if you are a Connor Bedard fan, you want to check that out, 2:30 with Jamie and I this afternoon on the Green Zone. The mayor of Regina, Chad Bushinski, he's a big name too.
But I agree, Connor Bedard. that's a big name.
That's a big name. Great. Yeah, they're that's exciting. They're excited to have him locked down on the show today, so that'll be a good chat at 2:30. Chad Bushinski, the mayor of Regina. We do a regular check-in with both mayors. Sometimes it works out. We'll have you and Mayor Cynthia Block on together. Right now, I feel like each city has issues, but they're somewhat different. What you're dealing with in Regina, although there's some similarities, different than what Saskatoon is. So for this month, we've got you on separately. So thank you very much for coming in this morning.
For sure.
Thanks for having me. Having you on the show. 1-877-332-8255 is the number if you happen to have a question. Maybe let's start with the budget meeting that was supposed to happen yesterday, but I know there was technical difficulties, so you had to postpone.
Yeah, we had to postpone. We had a new system that we've kind of upgraded and modernized some of the technology in the council chambers. So we had some issues there, but we did have the initial that was supposed to be kind of the high level start of the report to kind of give us that overview of what administration has so far. That'll get pushed off to we're going to just combine the August 25th meeting. So we'll put those together.
So it stands to reason, and I say that with hesitance because some people would say it shouldn't stand to reason, but it does stand to reason that with collective agreement rate increases, like wage increases, with just the inflation, those types of things, city costs tend to go up year after year. And in the absence of cutting services, there needs to be a bit of an understanding of what is that increase going to be? And if we're going to add something new, what does that do to the increase? Where are we at looking at this year's budget?
That's a great summary, I would say. And I like the way, like in the report, the way the administration has put that forward to basically say, here are the expenses that have got like the status quo expenses, right? Like, just like you said, we've got agreements, for increases. We've got, if we have increased fuel costs, if we have new neighborhoods that have come online that we have to do more street clearing and those types of things. So all of those expenses that, like you said, as we grow as a city, we will inherently see those go up. And then we look at the revenues. So we say, okay, we've had also that growth has produced additional tax revenue because we have new homes and that sort of thing. Whether we have grants, new agreements that get us new revenue. One of those was through the arm of Sherwood. Our fire protective services went out and did a more modern agreement with the arm of Sherwood to better reflect the cost recovery agreement. So that was one of the revenue line items right in the report. And so we have kind of that up of expenses, the down of revenues. And that leaves us with the gap that we have to fill going into this year. And so what was indicated was kind of that status quo. If we just keep the service levels and the service today, what they are for this year going into next year is a 7.01% increase. Then council had said, you know what, given all the financial pressures, we want to know what basically if we were to stay within the bottom 25% of taxes per capita compared to our comparable cities, what does that look like? And so administration has brought forward an additional recommendation to say, if you want to get to 5.81, here's the things that we would recommend that we would pull back on.
Right. Yeah. And when you do, I mean, those are the types of things where at the time you'll always have people pushing back saying, don't cut this service, don't cut the, but a lot of times those things pass because you're making tough decisions. But then when people realize the impact of that, you hear about it. And I think we've had a recent situation with weeds in the parks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where that's that kind of iterative approach that I personally think is, it's tricky because you have to live through it. But I think it's important. We did have a very challenging budget that we went through and we made decisions. And so, for the parks, for example, like I had worked with administration with that recommendation to pull back on the dollars there, with the idea that we would kind of reclassify, like how much do we water and mow and do the work on those, on those green spaces, with the idea that we could try and get as close to the service expectations of our residents as we could with a reduced budget. That was the goal. So clearly we didn't meet the mark in it wholly. I do think that we've had some successes there. So I don't think it's a matter of saying, well, we have to go back and do exactly what we were doing before. I think we actually have some learnings and maybe there's some key areas. Like one of the areas I heard was, some of the unofficial field spaces where kids do play sports and that may be one area that we want to tweak and make sure that we take care of. So it's not about, you know, completely reversing what we're doing. It's taking what we've learned and see, okay, so we were at, you know, this level, we went down to a lower level, and then maybe there's a tweak to get us to where, again, the goal is to meet the vast majority of our residents' service level expectations.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because there's only a finite number of ways the city can bring in money. And if you take tax revenue out of it, like if you don't want to bring the increase in through taxes, you're really limited. I mean, charging more for swimming lessons doesn't move the ball very far down the field.
Yeah, that's not gonna make up that gap for sure. And so, yeah, and again, from my side, I'm constantly working with other orders of government to say, you know, where can we partner on, you know, subsidies, grants, those types of things. But at the same time, and I'll just say, you know, one of the things that I brought forward through our Audit and Finance Committee and was approved through council is getting a long-term financial forecast, having a 5 and 10 year outlook on our city's finances. Now that we've put everything on the table and we have a more clear picture of what actually is happening, so we can actually make decisions over the long term. Mm-hmm. Instead of you doing it year by year and saying, well, everybody's trying to jockey to get things done this year, we can say, well, maybe that fits better in year 3 or 4 or 5, because that's where maybe we have a little bit of room, or we expect a new neighborhood to come online and give us a little bit more flexibility in funding. So trying to look a little bit more future focused is something that I want to get to.
You know, it's interesting because there's always, everyone has ideas of what we should cut, what we shouldn't, what we should spend money on, what we shouldn't. And it's got to be a balance. Like I think about the Aquatic Center, which I know has been a big topic of conversation right now. Saskatoon's going through a big discussion on this downtown event and entertainment district. People saying, look, great to have if we're good on everywhere else, but we're not. What is the balance between infrastructure, you know, pipes, sewer pipes, and watering flowers on boulevards or putting up a new complex in a city? Like how do you see that balance?
That's a big, big question. We probably need a couple segments to go through that one. But what I would say is, you know, what can you do without what can't you do without the other? At the end of the day, if we don't have the roads, the pipes, those sorted out, a lot of those pieces of infrastructure enable that. Like, so if we don't have roads that are, you know, have our crews to be, you know, accessible to do the flower watering and the grass cutting, you know, like, so in my mind, I look at it and say, well, you know, there's a foundation that you need to have in place first. And that being said, you know, we have to also think about what makes us an attractive city, because if we don't have people living here, moving here and paying taxes here, well, then we won't be able to afford to do any of these things. So it is a balance. It's not going to be perfect. But I think one of the things that I'm working with admin on and they're working on very heavily right now is getting a more kind of cohesive kind of asset management. Like what are those things that we can predict that we need to fix? And so, and then again, that kind of goes to that long-term financial forecast, because then we can say, we know we need to fix these kind of core infrastructure pieces. Where do we have good timing to weave in some of those like vibrancy? Mm-hmm. You know, we need to build a rec center or a pool or those types of things. Mm-hmm. So it's not perfect, but I think we can get a better way to look at that holistically.
Regina Mayor Chad Bashinsky is my guest. I'm going to give you some props here before we go into our first break here. The city of Regina's resurfacing road construction that they did on the south part of Louvain, while obnoxious while it was going on, I got caught in that for about 40 minutes one day going home. It was the most effective, swift, complete piece of road work on a big chunk of road that I've seen ever. It was done in 12 days. And it's outstanding. And I understand it was because some hours were increased. We worked evenings, we worked weekends. But I got to say, I mean, for a city that often I know gets beat up over road work and construction, that to me gets an A+.
Well, I'll pass that on right now to all the crews and the team and the engineering and everybody who's involved in that. And I will say, I feel good that I've had great dialogue ever since day one. Everybody's heard me talk about expanded hours of construction and that. And we're definitely seeing a shift in the way that we're looking at construction and the way it impacts our residents. So, yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay, we're going to take a break. But that new piece of Louvain, of course, covers the south end of the city, which, of course, leads into Harbor Landing. There are some people in Harbor Landing that are not happy about a new construction project there. That's where we'll go. I want to go to the text line, read a couple of texts for Regina's Mayor Chad Bashinsky. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Heaven, back to the show. Evan Bray, good to have you here. Mayor Chad Baczynski is my guest, the mayor of the city of Regina. I want to go to the phone line here. We have got a number of people on the text line, and I've actually had these conversations in person with people in the city about a new proposed development in Harbor Landing, and people are concerned about it. Mayor, I'm going to put Jane on the line, calling in from Harbor Landing to ask the question. Jane, go ahead. You're on with Mayor Chad Baczynski.
Hi, good morning. It's Jean.
Oh, Jean, sorry. My mistake.
Yes, I have serious concerns about that building. I live in Harbor Landing, and it's a vibrant, beautiful community. And I'm wondering, was any neighborhood impact study done? And how in the world did this oversized building get approval from the city without any citizen input?
Jean, thanks so much for the call. So just to set a little bit of the backstory, my understanding, Mayor, is this is a six-story residential building with a number like 300 units in it or something like that.
Yeah, it's that sounds about right. And so, yeah, thanks, Jean, for the question. And I know some of these are, you know, obviously that's a big build, a big construction project for sure on in that area. I think it's the tricky part is that that space was always zoned for that type of build. Like it was always zoned already. So the city had looked at that original concept plan, whenever that was, or that concept plan with that area. And that particular space with that ownership was always zoned for that. So that actually didn't come to the city even recently. That was something that just basically once the owner had a plan, they could put that plan forward to the city. And because it met the criteria of the zoning, that's why it would have made it through. So that's that part of it. The other part is absolutely there's, and I know that the developer has,
Harvard Developments.
Harvard Developments. Okay. Yeah. And so I know they've done, they have a lot of Q&As available, you know, on their website, I believe. And so I, you know, trying to address a lot of those questions. So I would say, you know, if there's questions about the specific build and what they're building and how it's being built, I would absolutely, you know, look to see if those questions, if they've answered them. If not, definitely reach out. And I know they're open to having a conversation. They want to be, you know, a good neighbor in terms of when they go to build and to take feedback and make sure when the construction's happening to try and minimize impact as much as possible and do the best they can.
This is a topic that has been bubbling for a while. I've actually had a couple of people approach me on it. I've been given documentation, which I passed along to the counselor in the area. But what a lot of people are saying is, you know, there's no buildings in Harbor Landing over four stories. This one is six. They're worried about traffic. They're worried about parking. There's a number of things that have people in the area concerned. I just want to reiterate, your point is this has been zoned this way all along. So the fact that there isn't any six-story buildings up till now is just, I guess, the way they've been developed. But it wasn't that they weren't allowed.
Yeah, it's not that they're not allowed. It's that, and again, I can't speak for the developer, but, you know, I would assume that, you know, it's based on economics and, you know, again, the market conditions for that type
right.
of housing.
The business case is the business there case. Now,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Well, I mean, let me just summarize what I look at as about 12 texts that have come in here today. People in Harbor Landing are concerned about this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it may not be the last that you've heard of it. We appreciate the explanation you've given, but maybe... I know Councillor Tiklis is the councillor for the area, correct?
Yeah, Councillor Tiklis, and absolutely. I know, you know, he's done a lot of work to talk to folks as well and try and understand, you know, the process and how this all works. And it is a change, and I totally understand the concerns. And you know, that's where, like I said, when those concept plans go through, that was the time that would have been looked at. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, just keeping in mind too, when we have those types of units, you know, that there's a reason why we have, you know, single housing mixed with, you know, densification in some areas and spaces is to try and balance out the tax base for the services that we deliver, like plowing streets and park spaces.
So to Jean's question about consultation, would that have happened? And I know I'm asking you a question you weren't there for, but when yeah. Harbor Landing, like when the concept of Harbor Landing was being developed, were those types of things discussed then?
But, yeah, I wasn't there then. Yeah. I would assume just what I know of the process now, that would be what we would do, you know, today. So I would assume there would have been the consultation at the time when they were looking at that original concept plan, because those concept plans generally have to come through council to be approved mm-hmm. Through the planning commission and that. So that would be my assumption.
Okay, there's a couple of texts here. One from Dale in Regina with some concerns about some of the projects that have been basically earmarked where money is being spent. And I'm just going to kind of list them for you. The low-cost housing that is costing $500,000 for each apartment. Do you know about that?
Did it have a location?
It doesn't have a location on it. I don't know. Free transit for young people at a fairly significant cost. The green bin program, and will there be any staffing cuts at City Hall? So this is a fella. Clearly, Dale is upset about city spending, worried about the priorities of those projects. Let's talk about the free transit for young people. Mm-hmm. This is still a trial, am I right?
Yeah, and I know there was some talk about expanding. I kind of compromised on not shutting it down completely, but basically maintaining status quo because I'm taking, I took the word of Councillor Zakidniak that, there was some maybe information missing to kind of look at that as a whole. That was kind of maintaining the status quo in terms of what they were doing for that pilot and carrying it for a full school year to see how that impacted students and attendance and that kind of thing.
Right.
That being said, since then, I've been keeping an eye on Manitoba, for example, who is actually at the provincial level. They've actually looking at doing fare free transit for youth. And so, I think that'll be something to keep an eye on to see, that kind of responsibility in that and what it looks like going forward.
Couple minutes left. There's a lot of text coming in with pictures of signs covered by bush, concerns about certain intersections. Those are tough, those individual ones to deal with on the show, but there is a way that they can get their concern heard through the city.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's a concern that there's a sign that's not visible or, something needs to be trimmed to, for safety in that, absolutely. You can go and submit a service request on regina.ca. I think 777-7000 is the other way you can call it in if that's easier for you. And we'll get someone to take care of those for sure.
So there are a lot of people with texts about concerns about traffic congestion, those types of things. Is that the same number that they should call? If they want traffic to come out and do an assessment or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that would be
the catch-all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that would be prioritized and routed to the particular department to look at it.
Very quickly, a text asking if you've heard about what's going on in Saskatoon with the deed and what you think about the provincial government's commitment of what could be $400,000 to that project.
Yeah, I guess what first I'd say is I haven't had a chance to actually talk to the province about that. That'll be my first conversation I'll want to have here just to kind of understand where that came from and kind of their approach to that whole situation. So, the questions that I'll have is around how do those dollars get allocated and how much is contingent on the federal government, for example.
Regina's Mayor Chad Bushinsky. We're going into a half an hour segment on great memories from our youth of the exhibition. Before you leave, do you have one?
Oh, yeah.
Young Chad Bushinsky? What was it?
You want to know it now?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the fireball was a very vomit-inducing ride, I'll tell you that.
Wow. You painted a great picture to start our conversation.
Fireball. Yeah, the fireball. You remember that?
I remember it, but I didn't eat a bag of mini donuts before I went on it.
Well, you're smarter than me.
Mayor Chad Bushinsky, thank you so much for popping by.
Hey.
Okay, we'll take our break. When we come back, we are, of course, recognizing Regina. Queen City X starts up today. Saskatoon X starts up tomorrow. Reliving exhibition memories from years gone by. That's where we go next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.